Living on Mars could be closer than ever before. Research from the International Potato Center, I'll say that again, research from the International Potato Center in Peru and NASA have been growing potatoes in Mars-like conditions. To discuss this further, we're joined by Professor Alan Duffy from Swinburne University. Alan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, can you give us a bit of a summary of this research?
Sure thing. So the International Potato Center, which I have to say, I adore that that's a thing. they basically created an hermetically sealed environment. So that is a glorified fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
They created the same sort of soils that Mars has. We have rovers there. We've been able to analyze it so we can recreate Mars-like soils.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped the pressure, and essentially the Martian atmosphere is only about a hundredth that of our own.
Right.
And yet in those conditions, in this airtight glass fish tank,
mm-hmm.
they actually were able to see the tubers, the young potatoes, actually grow. And that wasn't completely obvious that could happen. We've always hoped that the potato, as one of the hardier types of crop vegetables,
mm-hmm.
might be able to sustain potential colonies into the future, but growing in those kind of very dry soils and low air pressure environment, it really was quite a surprise to see them grow as healthily as they did. And in fact, there's a live stream that you can watch to see these growing.
You can watch them growing.
It's not gripping, I'm not going to lie, but the time lapse is pretty impressive, and you can actually see these things shoot up under the
wow.
same conditions. So that includes the lighting that Mars would experience. Everything was done as realistic as
mm-hmm.
possible.
Right. Now, this probably should have been the first question. Why potatoes?
Well, because they have a good lineage of being an energy-packed crop. They can
right.
they can sit in your larder for up to months on the time, and they're also able to grow in very dry conditions. And even though the experiment did feed a nutrient-rich water quite regularly to these potatoes, these are a particular breed that
right.
can grow in those hardier conditions. And that's actually the real win for this experiment. The breed that we're testing that could grow on Mars, if it can sustain itself in those conditions, it can definitely help us feed the groups who are living in water-stressed environments. So, for example, the southern Peru deserts, those mm-hmm. are very similar to Mars. So the same potatoes that were growing on Mars, those can be grown here on Earth and hopefully feed local communities.
The International Potato Center in Peru, huh? Incredible. Didn't know they exist before today. Now, I'm told by our producers here, this has happened before. We've seen this before, growing potatoes on Mars, the movie mm-hmm. The Martian.
Now, yeah.
I'm told, the potatoes yep. in the movie were grown in the feces of the astronauts in that instance.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd bring it up quite like that. Yeah, they sort of, in the film,
we're being scientific.
Self-fertilize, as it were, the garden.
That's a good way of putting it.
look, so this experiment in Peru, they had nutrients, they didn't have to use feces, but yeah, the idea is that you still have to add some nutrients to the Martian soil, although it does have some ingredients for life, we will have to bring fertilizer, and inevitably that will be our own compost heaps. And
right.
We perhaps wouldn't directly put our own feces into the soil. It's a little unhealthy.
Yeah.
But you can certainly pee on your plants, and that's actually a practice that NASA has tested out in
wow.
the Hawaii Mars simulator called High Seas,
right.
which runs year-long self-contained, self-enclosed biodomes where up to 6 crew members live for a year. And one of the things that they're trying to do to grow their own crops is to recycle as much as possible. And they
yep.
just directly, as it turned out, peed on their plants. Perhaps not the leaves. They tried
yep.
to aim it a little bit better, but that was actually enough to help some of their plants grow and flourish, which
wow, incredible.
Was astounding to me. Not that I'm advocating people go out to their backyard, but
start doing it.
You're not killing the plants, put it that way.
There you go. So, yeah, we've seen, you mentioned there the Mars simulator in Hawaii. We've got this happening. Whereabouts is this happening, the potato growing?
So the potato growing is in Peru. The
okay.
Mars simulated environment is on the top of a volcano, the Mauna Loa volcano.
Oh, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. It's 2.5 kilometers above sea level, an absolutely barren landscape. It looks essentially like Mars, and indeed the entire experiment was undertaken under Mars conditions. So in other words, if you wanted to try to leave the dome, you would have to put on your spacesuit. You could never smell fresh air for a year. All you had was a very limited bathing regime, maybe a shower once every 3 days or so. And these simulated astronauts, as they termed themselves, basically had to deal with each other for up to a year of,
wow.
of just.
So, what sort of things are we learning from these sorts of experiments?
Well, the major experience gained from HiSeas, the simulator, is that people can have predicted blow-ups. We can see in advance that there are potentially issues coming. The simulated astronauts themselves were actually tracked constantly to see, did they look at each other or did they begin to turn away from one another as a sort of as an alarm bell that potentially a big blow-up's happening.
Right, so blow-ups is in human behavior, cracking up with each other, basically.
Yeah, look, when we explore space and we have these long-duration missions and several years in the case of Mars, our biggest threat isn't space. It's actually going to be each other, but we're also each other's greatest asset and resource because we can fix whatever the other problems are. So a lot of the research is going into psychology, it's into group behavior, is going to try to make our astronauts work together as effectively, as happily as possible. And all of that research is actually going to be used on Earth first. All the studies that will be published throughout the course of the next year or two from this year-long HiSeas experiment will be about trying to make teams more effective, try to figure out how do you resolve a problem when you just can't walk away from it. You're locked into a small dome, basically 10 meters across for a year with these five other people. How do you resolve your differences? Because walking away just simply isn't an option in space.
Yeah, you're in there. Now, finally, how close are we to actually having humans living on Mars?
Look, I have a suspicion that this is still many decades away.
Right.
We have, of course, the figure of Elon Musk, who owns his own rocket company, SpaceX.
And helps that you've got your own rocket company, doesn't it?
It does, but even with that resource, I can't believe that we can do it as quick as he says. But he has a target for mid-2020, so barely a decade from now, we could have humans on Mars. I just can't believe that's possible.
Yeah.
But this is a man who has often proven the critics wrong. So you'd be a fool to bet against Elon Musk when he sets his mind to something, and he very much wants to have humans on Mars by mid-20s.
Yeah, wow. Well, Professor, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
A pleasure.
There we are. That was Professor Alan Duffy there talking about the future of human life on Mars and some of the experiments that are going into planning for that.